Back here on Sunday Golds, it's Friday, March 15th, about 12:30, and the Noles are hosting Notre Dame. 6 o'clock, I believe, is first pitch here tonight, 3 o'clock Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Noles taking on an Irish team that was led by Link Jarrett just a couple of years ago. Arya Masudi here alongside Brett Nebbitt, and you're listening to Sunday Golds. We're on Apple Pods, on Spotify. We appreciate those of you who have been tuning in all season long. The Instant React had over 500 listens, which was pretty cool, and we're pushing 1,000 listens on some of these episodes. So please continue to share these with your friends. Give us 5 stars. Please leave a comment on Apple Pods. It does make a difference, and I think this is going to be a pretty special season for Florida State baseball. Certainly a lot better than it was 1 year ago. We're 15-0. We've got a starting rotation that's looking like it's shaping up to be one of the best in the ACC, a lineup that's as good as it's been in well over a decade. This is going to be a fun year to follow Florida State baseball, and we'll be with you here every step of the way. Thanks again to Eric Llewellyn, who joined us over the middle of the week to talk about the win there from the radio booth in Gainesville. A fun one. Brett, let's, before we get into this preview against Notre Dame, which we will do, and then we'll do a mailbag, I'm still not over it. I think it was a lot of fun to beat Florida there on Tuesday night, to watch their fans leave upset, to hear some of the comments their fans were making out of anger. Made me laugh. Overall, a good win for Florida State, and I think that's something you hope you can use as momentum to continue into the weekend.
Yeah, I think the best part about the game at Florida was we saw the team do what they had done so far through the first 14 games, and I don't think they were scared of the environment or the team they were playing, and they were confident going in, and you know, for good reason when you've won 14 straight games despite who you're playing, because it's hard to win 14 straight baseball games, and now 15 straight, and this team just, they're going to hit all year. I think we know that, but the way they've played defense, and especially the way they ran the bases at UF was really encouraging, and then obviously to figure it out on the mound that game and just get through it and hold the Gators to less than 10 runs and win the game by 4. And really it should have been 6 or 7 runs or even less. I think only 3 of the runs were earned. And I thought everybody that stepped on the mound flashed a little bit of something. Andrew Armstrong, the start was really good. To Dorsey's response after the grand slam, the 2 freshmen at the end, Ox closing it out. It was just a really good complete team win, and Link was really happy that they did what they did through the first 14 games, and it's just been a constant just production from the offense no matter who's on the mound.
I really love that they went into that stadium, right? 8,000 fans. Wanted to shout out the Seminole fans who made the trip. Mm-hmm. They were coming from all over the state. I even know some people came in from Georgia to try and support the Noles, and the Gator fans were loud. They were into it. You and I have joked that it's a spring training environment at times. I actually thought on that night it felt more like a college atmosphere, and it was the first time that I'd been there where I really felt like Florida had a good home field advantage there for their team. But that only parlays into what I'm about to say, and it's impressive to go there after you played 14 games all at home or in atmospheres in which they're not really going to test you, right, like that. It was in a season where we're trying to check off boxes and we're kind of going up the list and saying, all right, let's see how they do in this scenario, how they do in this area, in this environment. I thought it was a big check, right? And I thought for them to respond, Link said the same thing. For us to do that in this environment against that caliber of opponent, that is a step forward on the season and the progression of what we want to have.
Yeah, I think we saw over the last 2 years this team really struggled away from home, and obviously, this team struggled in general last year, but I think even in 2022, the road record was pretty bad. I think it hadn't been since 21 since the road record was decent. That was, like you said, it's the first real environment they've been in this year. I mean, you go to JU and probably have more Florida State fans than JU fans at that park. And then when you go to Greenville, I think you probably had really the only fan advantage there of the 4 teams there. So that was really the first time you had a crowd against you this year, and I think they said it was the largest crowd for Florida FSU to date, and one of the, I think the 5th largest crowd for Florida in their program history. It is a bit of a spring training field at that park, but I do enjoy watching games there. I think it's a nice place, and they did a good job with it. And like you said, the fans were pretty rowdy, and I think part of that was once you get up and you know, get up 7 runs and Florida starts to come back, then the fans really get into it. And, you know, obviously they got into it there with the umpires in the 8th inning. But I think that was the right call, and there wasn't too much of a debate over that from my point of view. And yeah, it's really good to see them handle that early in the season. I think now the next box to check is going into ACC play, just being consistent through a weekend and continuing to play good defense and do the small things as well like they've done so far.
Yeah, for sure. I think too, that crowd, when you when you think about, it's a Tuesday game, right? So that's not as easy for everyone to get to. Weekends will have bigger crowds just because it's an easier trip to make, less things going on, no work, et cetera, et cetera. And one last shout out again to the fans that came in for Florida State. I thought, you know, down the left field line, third baseline, you could hear it. It was loud. The FLORIDA chants were phenomenal. And it was cool at the end of the game when some of the Florida fans had started to trickle out and you could kind of feel how many Noles had made the trip over. So shout out to you guys. I think the Noles would love to see you, especially in state at any of their away games. And you get a trip to Clemson. That's doable for a lot. I saw a good amount of fans at Greenville for that tournament. And Clemson's only about a 45-minute drive away from Greenville. So need your support. I think it's going to be big fans here this weekend and big crowds, I should say, at Hauser this weekend against Notre Dame. And I was impressed with the Noles there on Tuesday night. You get the freshmen some chances to pitch in that environment. You got, like you said, Oxford a chance to pitch in that environment. He continues to be a bright spot. And then the lineup's just, it's fun to watch. So, Brett, as we move into the preview for Notre Dame, it's an Irish team that last year went, I think, 30-24. They lost their last two games in the ACC tournament. I remember they were on the bubble there for a little bit, and they just didn't close the season strong to get on the right side of the bubble, so to speak. But I think his name is Sean Stifler, if I'm right, former VCU coach who took the reins from Link when Coach Jarrett decided to come back home to Tallahassee. It's a Notre Dame team that, just judging by them, they started off hot this year, and they got swept by Virginia Tech last weekend. It's a group that, if you look at, there's not a ton of remaining familiar faces from what Link Jarrett had. A lot of those guys left after last year, but I think that's a Notre Dame team that is going to come in, and it'll be a step up in a weekend environment, right, in a weekend rotation, in a weekend scenario, where now Florida State, like you said, is going to have to check off another box and get off to a great start here in ACC play.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Notre Dame's won six of the last seven games against Florida State, and obviously a lot of that was with Link there. I think they swept us in 2022 at Hauser, the last trip to Hauser for them. And last year, Notre Dame beat FSU in a series, two of the three games. I think FSU actually won that first game, but then kind of pitching just kind of fell apart the next two games for Notre Dame to win the series. But yeah, like you said, Notre Dame got off to a decent start to start the year before getting swept by Virginia Tech last weekend. Just gave up a lot of runs. I think they gave up 10-plus runs in every game there, and I think that's the concern with this Notre Dame team is the arms and the depth of pitching. They have a 6.73 ERA so far this year, but the offense, and they're going to hit for homers. I think they already got 38 home runs this year. They've got two guys with six home runs in Estefan Moreno and David Glancy, and then a couple other guys with four and five home runs. So the lineup is pretty deep with some impact to it, but I think the thing with Notre Dame is if you can get into their pitching staff and you know, I think they really don't even have, like, starters that have started every weekend. I think only one guy has started every weekend so far in Matt Bedford, but the guy who started for them Friday last week isn't in the rotation this week, and that was his only start of the year was Friday last week. So I think they're just really trying to figure it out on the mound right now, and that's been a struggle for them so far. And obviously we've seen what Florida State's offense has done so far this year, so I think you hope they can take advantage of the Notre Dame pitching staff and hit the way they've hit all season so far.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule just to see, and really the most impressive thing they've done is go to Rice and sweep to start the year, right? But Rice is 5-11 right now. They're really struggling. And then Notre Dame actually lost the series at FIU.
They
split.
Yeah,
okay,
four games.
They played four games. Still, that's not something that I think you want on your resume there.
And they gave up 11 runs, two games to Tennessee Tech.
Right. You're saying their pitching staff's given up a ton of runs, and you're right. Tennessee Tech, they were able to take care of business.
They've allowed 10-plus runs in eight of what, 16 games? So 50% of Notre Dame's games, they've allowed at least 10 runs. So
there's going to be some cricket numbers on that scoreboard this weekend from Florida State is what I'm looking at here. Yeah, it's not a good recipe for them, right, to come and face Florida State, a team that, I mean, the offense is leading the charge right now, and it's one of the best offenses in the country.
And at the same time, Notre Dame has scored 10-plus runs in 8 games. So they have an offense that can probably keep up with you if you're not doing what you need to do on the mound and you're walking guys. But I think as long as you play defense and you command the baseball on the mound, that you feel pretty good about what you can do this weekend.
They're still playing defense over there too, Brett.
Yeah. I mean,
982 as a team, that'll play. That's big time. Looking at some names that are familiar for me, Estevan Moreno, a name that I do remember. Jack Penny's still there. Other than that, though, Connor Hinks, is that a transfer? He's hitting 367. TJ Williams is the main bell cow, so to speak. But, wow, he's having a heck of a year, man. Mm-hmm. 396 for TJ, 4 home runs, 13 RBIs. He's an outfielder for them, isn't he?
Yeah.
Center field, if I remember from last year.
I think so.
I think that's correct. You said, Brett, they hit the baseball. 277 as a team is respectable. They've got pop, 38 home runs. That's actually more than Florida State on the year. They do strike out a ton, which could play to Florida State's advantage on the mound, and the Noles are one of the best teams in the country at K per nine. And then on the mound, it's just that's where they're going to struggle, man. They're going to need some heroic performances. I know Toby McDonough, if we want to get into who they're going with this weekend, he's only started twice, and I don't think he's gone 3 full innings in any of his starts. So that looks like a guy that's, you know, only 8 innings on the year, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts with a 5.62 ERA. Brett, it's not a good matchup for them right now. So they're going to probably need some kids to come in and probably step up, right? Yeah. You got to pitch above your head a little bit here on the road to beat Florida State, who is, in my opinion, right now, a top 15 caliber opponent. Yeah, and then the bullpen's not great either. McDonough, I mean, their closer's solid in Bennett Flynn.
McDonough had an 8.1 ERA at Brown last year.
Yeah,
in 30 innings.
I thought this might be an issue for Stifler, right, Coach Stifler at Notre Dame. That's not an easy place to go get talent, which is why what Link did was so impressive. Link went and got old and stayed old, so to speak, and was able to figure out pieces here and there, but. Yeah, I mean, this is just. I mean, it's not a superiorly talented baseball team.
Maybe. Yeah, and obviously Jack Finley would probably be their guy, their horse on the mound, but who was part of Notre Dame's run to Omaha in 2022? That was so important for Link's pitching staff. But last year he had Tommy John, and he hasn't been able to get back on the mound yet from that. But he was someone that. Was a star freshman in 2022, so that'd probably be the horse of their staff. But you know, without him, it's tough to find a guy for them to rely on right now.
Yeah, for them to be able to come in and get anything done, man, it's trying to be fair here. You know, without just Florida State has, I think, in my opinion, 75% chance to win the series. That's pretty high. You're at home. We were talking about before we hit record, like, are there series that you can sweep? You can't expect a sweep ever in the ACC. I think those are difficult. However, the teams that do host regionals, and especially those who get national seeds as a top 8, they find ways to sweep 2 opponents a year, sometimes 3. This, to me, feels like a very sweepable series for Florida State. Like, it feels like you're at home, you're not on the road, you're in the friendly confines of your own park. You're off to a great start. Your team should have the highest morale it's had in a couple of seasons. And you're overwhelmingly better just throughout the lineup and on the mound. To me, I'll say it this way, just so it's fair. I would be disappointed if they didn't sweep. I would understand, however, because of the way baseball works. But this is as sweepable of a series as Florida State's going to get the opportunity to play in. And especially this early in the year where schools like Notre Dame – I think are still trying to find their legs, so to speak, from just the challenges of playing in the Midwest and in the Northeast for some of these schools. To me, you got to come out and take care of business if you're Florida State. That's what I'm looking for when we talk about what are we trying to learn about the Noles. Can you be a business-oriented team? This is a business weekend for you. Come out, get the job done, show the maturity, and go out there and play clean baseball and win three games.
Yeah, I think my only thing about it is, like, you have to lose a game at some point. Like, you, at some point you're going to lose a game, and it's just a matter of when. And, like, Notre Dame got swept last weekend, so you know they're going to be doing everything they can to scratch and claw to get a win here and to try and get a series win here too. But, you know, when you have your weekend rotation set up now with Leiter, Arnold, and Whitaker, that just gives you the utmost confidence in what you're going to get on the mound, what you're going to get from your starts. You feel like all three of those guys are going to go 5-plus innings and give you quality outings. And if you get that with your offense against this Notre Dame pitching staff, like Arya said, like you could expect a sweep. And but, you know, you also said it's hard to sweep. It's just everybody's talented and everybody, you know, has some sort of strengths. And obviously Notre Dame's strength is hitting the ball out of the yard. I think if you can keep them in the yard, then you have a pretty good chance of winning all three games this weekend. But yeah, I think baseball is just a game where it's like at a certain time, the team that's been losing a lot has to grab a win, and the team that's been winning every single game at some point is going to lose. But I think you hope that you can get through this weekend with an 18-0 record still, and then get on to Stetson and Clemson next week, because that Clemson series on the road in that environment, it's going to be a tough one, and you're going to have to grind for wins there. So, yeah, every win in the ACC and the conference schedule, every win matters. And if you could get three on opening weekend, it would be really big.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think not winning the series would be...
That'd be
a stunner.
Yeah.
Right? This early in the year. But I would put FSU sweep ability chances, right, to be able to take three at like 50%. It's a 50-50 odds. And I think that's as high as you're going to get from a conference opponent to sweep someone. So
it's just the way that Notre Dame is trending on the mound and the way you're trending offensively. You have to feel really, really confident about what you're going to be able to do and what you're able to produce on the scoreboard. So yeah, I don't really disagree with you about the potential of a sweep at all. It's just hard to get it done, and hopefully you're able to execute for three straight days and do that.
I agree with you. All right, so within that, let's take a couple minutes. I don't want to say if Florida State is to sweep. However, if the Noles do sweep or if they win two out of three, what we're about to talk about is what we're looking for as to how it will happen. So rotation-wise, what are you looking for from Leiter, from Arnold, from Whitaker? What are your goals for each of those three guys as we move into conference play?
Yeah, I think for Leiter, it's just keep showing the improvements that he showed last week with the efficiency, because when you're going on Friday and you want to be able to have your bullpen depth for the weekend, you know, you need your Friday starter to give you 5, 6, 7 innings. And last week was the first time that Leiter had gotten into the sixth inning, and he completed that inning, and I think he only threw 89 or so pitches, and he's kind of been in that same exact range, 89 and 91 pitches every outing. And if you could get him to like 95 pitches this week and get six innings out of him, and it would go a long way. With Jamie, it's just, I mean, at some point he's going to give up an earned run. Like I said, at some point you're going to lose, and at some point Jamie's going to give up an earned run. But with Jamie, it's just keep doing what he's done. He's done such a good job with runners on base. I think some of that mentality comes from his experience relieving last year, and he's just done such a good job of fighting with runners in scoring position and scratching and clawing to not allow anybody to cross the plate. So with Jamie, I think last week a lot of people complained about the strike zone when he was out there and getting squeezed a bit, and he had three walks after only having two coming in to that outing. So just to see Jamie get back in the zone consistently and efficiently would go a long way as well. But I think, you know, with Jamie, there's no concerns about what he's done so far. And then with Witt, same thing. I mean, the three midweek starts he had, I was really pleased with. And I think Witt was available at Florida, but not having to use him is a good thing, I think. And being able to hold him off to Sunday and now getting into that that rotation that you've wanted all year long. You know, I think this is going to be one of the better rotations in the ACC, and maybe the best outside of Wake Forest and the three-headed monster that they have. But you've got a three-headed monster of your own, I think. So I'm excited to see them 1-2-3 for the first time this weekend, and you know, just hope to see kind of what those guys have shown you so far. And have them stay within themselves and just do what they do. And I think you'll be pretty successful this weekend on the mound if you do that.
Leiter is one that I think personally is looking to take a step forward, right? Like, there's team goals and then there's individual goals that we're talking about. And I think for Cam, we still haven't seen his best version of himself. I think opening weekend was pretty close, but ever since then, in my opinion, he's been chasing to try and find himself again. And it speaks to his talent level and that he's been pretty good, even despite that. But on his own seasonal progression, I'm excited to see if he can put it all together this weekend against what I think, like you said, it's a decent lineup, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be a challenging lineup for him. So that's what I'm looking for from him. Can Jamie come in on Saturdays and do what he's been doing, like you said? I mean, he's been the most dominant pitcher on this staff, and maybe in the, like,
he's one of three guys in the country that hasn't allowed an earned run yet. So,
I mean, that's amazing, Brett. And for him, this is another step up, not just in terms of who you're facing, but challenging yourself to be able to keep your routine, your mentality, consistency, and how you go about your business, mm-hmm. I should say, on a week-to-week basis. You want to be a star? You want to be an ace? You've got to be able to do that every weekend out. And I think that's going to be the next step for Arnold. I think he's capable of doing it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the changeup continue to be developed there by Coach Posey and seeing him use that, because I think he's going to need that in ACC play, is to be able to have that third pitch consistently. So yeah. That being said, yeah.
Just a note on that. Last time I talked to Posey about Jamie, he mentioned that the changeup, they had made just a recent change to it, and they think that it'll probably get even more involved here soon. So, yeah, that'd be another really big step for Jamie.
And then Whitaker moving into his first weekend start of the year. It's been a while since he's been on a weekend, right? And that's different than going on midweeks. It's been 12 days. I think it will have been 12 days since he pitched last. That sometimes has issues. It's given major league pitchers issues when they don't get to pitch on a consistent basis. I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles that. I have no doubt that he'll be fine, but it's something to monitor as he takes the rubber for the first time on a weekend this season. So those are my keys there that I'm looking for. The pen, who continues to develop and step up there. We haven't seen Ben Barrett in a while. I'd love to see him back out there if possible this weekend. And then for the Noles, just offensively, to just not get away from what they've been doing. Defensively, 980 fielding percentage for Florida State, above it. Continue to do that. Play clean baseball. Small ball's been good for FSU at times this year. They've left the yard. Just be Florida State, right? And I want that to kind of continue here. Don't want them to beat Florida and then all of a sudden start feeling good about themselves as a team that's made it or arrived, because that's how you get beat and humbled in ACC play. So those are the things I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think Link knows that as well as anyone, that this is a long season and it's a day-by-day process. And I don't think Link's too concerned about the results and record, and more so about the day-to-day consistency of what they're doing and the execution that they're putting on the field. So, I think, you know, maybe you'll get into some close games this weekend. Still haven't had that many of them, and you'll need to find out who can do it in the bullpen in the big moments. But, I think the offense, you expect them to hit and keep going because of the depth and the relentlessness and the ability to have some guys struggling, but, you know, still being able to produce as offense because you have so many impact bats and you can rely on so many different guys. And it seems like there's a different mix of contributors every game. So I'm sure that will be the same theme this weekend with multiple guys all over the offense, up and down 1 through 9 contributing.
Awesome. All right, Brett, I think that's a pretty good spot there to stop our preview. Let's do a quick mailbag. I'll probably pass this over to you for most of them, but I'll ask the questions and let you kind of get into them. First one comes from Ben on Twitter. Do you think the bench is going to get shorter now that we are entering ACC play?
I don't think the bench has been that, like, big to begin with. I think you'll still see Jay Will, like, pinch run. Jordan Williams is gonna be a guy that gets opportunities to pinch hit as leadoff hitter in the sixth or seventh inning when Link sees fit, because he really likes Jay Will's ability to get on base and make things happen. You're still going to see him pinch run and steal bases. I think you're still going to see Holbrook and West kind of bounce off each other and both play behind the plate. Link is going to want to try to get Kyle Fisher involved as much as he can because he really likes what the freshman can do and thinks he's, you know, the best freshman gamer that, that he's ever had, maybe. Max Williams, Link loves his defense and his impact bat at, from the left side, so I think he's still someone that's going to be involved, and those have kind of been the guys off the bench so far. You know, I wonder if you get some more ABs for Kamaka somewhere. It's just hard to find them. You know, Andrew Duncan was a freshman that traveled to Gainesville as well as Riley Jackson, and Riley's someone who they like getting experience behind the plate because they think he can do it in the long term. And same with Andrew, just as the athletic profile that he presents. So I don't think it will really change much from what we've seen so far. I just think you'll probably have less games where you're up so big that you can just get a bunch of guys in there. But when it comes to the day-to-day usage of the bench, I think it will still be pretty similar to what we've seen so far.
Yeah, good question there from Ben. Thank you for that on Twitter. Another one on Twitter, Matt. Seems like the only change to the lineup the past several games is alternating between the two catchers. Has Marco Dingus pulled away from Max Williams? Williams, I've noticed, hasn't started since the Western Michigan game.
Yeah, I think Marco, he's just been so consistent offensively the last couple weeks that it's hard to take him out of there. He leads the country in sacrifice flies, which I know that's not the sexiest stat, but it matters. And producing, even when you're making outs, and those productive outs, they're big to a successful offense. And, I mean, Marco's got three home runs, and I think they all came last week. He's hitting .395 with a .658 slug and a .453 on-base percentage. And that on-base percentage probably gets killed by the sac flies. But, you know, I think Marco's just been what you expected out of him for the most part. Like I said, the first couple weeks I felt like he was just getting a little bit too big with the swing. Like, it's always going to be big and in with a lot of intent in it. But he kind of just shortened it up a little bit and got back to hitting the line drives like he does at a high rate. And when he does that, he's going to smoke the ball around the yard. And yeah, I don't think Max has started in a little bit. And I think that's just something that once we get back into ACC play with two right-handers going the next two days for Notre Dame, I think we'll really find out about how they want to use Max.
That's a good question there from Matt. And for the sake of time, just so that we have a quick podcast here, I won't answer a lot of these questions and just leave it to Brett. But I also like what Dingus has been doing. I just think it's been good. It's what you saw, you know, in preseason when he was at times the best hitter Florida State had.
Yeah, in the fall, in the for preseason. Sure.
Yeah, so love that. And I think Max Williams is super talented. I think he's going to get a shot, and I think he'll have an impact in some big series for Florida State this season. All right, thank you there, Matt. One more. Chris on Twitter, are we missing Ben Barrett as a hitter? And his follow-up is, are we better at pitching or just healthier?
I don't think you're missing Ben just because of what you're on the offensive side, just because of what you've done offensively so far. And I don't really think that there'd be a spot for Ben to get in there, except for maybe DH. I mean, you play Cantu at first base every day, mostly because of the defense and his stability there. But I mean, he's also hitting .373 right now and had a really good day in Gainesville. You know, the other place Ben could play is third base, but obviously you have Cam. I think you have Triple backing up Cantu at first base, and you like Triple's right-handed bat. I think he had a nagging wrist injury for so long that had to get fixed after the summer and made him miss fall. And just being able to focus on pitching has been good for his development. Obviously, we haven't seen him for a bit. He wasn't available the last couple of days, last weekend, and then didn't make the trip to Gainesville. Link hasn't been asked about it yet, but I'm sure we'll get some sort of update soon. As of now, I don't think it's like a season ending thing or anything like that, but you do need to get Ben back out there to have the full depth of your staff. When it comes to the pitching staff, I just think it's better because of what you're able to get out of your starters. Like, in being able to get length out of your starters and good quality starts, it limits what your bullpen has to do for you, and it limits what your depth has to do for you. And with Jamie Leiter and Whitaker, you just feel really confident about what those three guys are going to give you every weekend. And now getting an Army back to what he was last year, and he's been really good to start the year. And some of the freshmen showing what they have. Like, you have a lot of pieces and options. It's just, like we've talked about, the late game execution that we really haven't got to see yet because they haven't played many close games, but we still need to learn about that and check that box as we go down the road of this season.
Yeah, the depth's still not fantastic for the pitching staff, and I think not having Adams hurts. Marlowe not being able to pitch right now hurts. Mm-hmm. Barrett right now not being able to pitch. Those are three arms I think you thought would factor in somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of the same issues as last year where you're like, oh, man, there are some injuries that have really hurt Florida State. But
the
like
difference
you said,
this year is like you've got stuff. Like last year you just didn't have much stuff. And this year you're still going to walk guys like you did last year. But like I've said before, that's part of college baseball now. Like everybody walks people. And you just have to try to limit them in the big moments and hope that the stuff plays. And like we saw Lauk and Rowan, like their stuff is real. And I still think Souser's stuff is real. And Dorsey's got 24 Ks in 12 innings. There's definitely stuff there. Like Holtz, you know, he's going to be able to spin the breaking balls. It's just execution, execution, execution with him. And same with Oxford. It's just all about execution. Even Johnny Abraham, like the stuff was really, really good when he threw that Sunday. So, yeah, it's just your pitching staff was built with those guys in mind, and you're now trying to figure out who can try to fill those innings and move into those roles. And that's part of the reason that the two freshmen threw at Florida on Tuesday. And I think that was the reason Link was really excited about how they handled the moment.
Yeah, I just think like you said, the top end is better. Your starting five, so to speak.
Ability
six.
To get that, yeah.
Right. This. Like if this was basketball, Brett, you would say maybe you're not a deep bench, but your starting five got a whole lot better than last year. So that's where we're at right now.
And you've got exciting freshmen on the bench that you think could turn into something for you.
Give the staff some credit. They went out and did it and mm-hmm. figured it out. So good for them, and that's paying dividends. All right, two more quick ones. Sean Bergstrom, right now, who do you consider to be our closer?
I don't think this team, I mean, we haven't really been able to see that yet because you really haven't had save opportunities. I think this team has, what, three saves so far this year? Two of them have gone to Oxford. I think one was because, like, the tying run was on deck. I think that happened twice. Ben got credited with a save because he came in when the game was close, and then I think he threw three or four innings to close the game out. But there haven't really been any real, like, save opportunities when you're up one or two going into the ninth. And, you know, before coming into the season, Link said that they didn't really have a closer. But, you know, I think when it comes to the shutdown role, that's Dorsey, and we've seen that. And he's kind of that Wyatt role. But I don't think this team has technically, like, a closer. But just, like, Dorsey's your shutdown guy. I think if you were to have a closer that – you know, I think Rowan would get a chance there. I think that's someone that you think has that type of intensity and stuff to get it done. But it might be a little too early in his career to do that just because of consistency. But for me, that would probably be the guy for me.
Yeah, good stuff there. I think also you might see at times this year Armstrong get a chance to finish games out.
I think the thing with Army is just he's just such a Swiss Army knife and such a weapon in like early and middle relief, being able to eat up innings and doing all the different things he can do. But yeah, if he's available and at the end of a game and it's close, Link 100% has the trust in him to put him in those situations.
Been cool to see Oxford also kind of get late opportunities and deliver. That's mm-hmm. been nice. And if it trends and it continues to progress in the right direction, you might be able to see there. I think what we're trying to say is they probably won't have a bona fide closer. This is, you know, like in the MLB, all of our favorite teams have the shutdown guy that comes in. He gets paid a lot of money to have 35, 40 saves a season. Yeah. I don't think that's what Florida State's going to do this season. So,
well, and it brings me back to the point that Lulu made on Tuesday where it's like if you do have someone in that role and he's just thrown one inning, like you feel like in the future they might transfer and try to become a starter. Like it's hard to have a closer in this day and age of baseball.
Yeah. All right, last one here from Chad Page on Twitter. Through first 15 games, is there a player that has had a bigger impact on the team than you originally thought in the preseason? It's a good question.
I mean, I think maybe Oxford is that guy just because I didn't know how much they would use him. And so far this year, 9.1 innings, 2.89 ERA, and he's done a good job of executing, which has led to 15 strikeouts and 9 innings compared to 4 walks. And you know, last year I think Ox just left stuff up in the zone and couldn't get the job done completely when you needed him to in some big spots. But this year he has so far. And that's been really good for you. I mean, offensively, I think this is mostly it's what I've expected offensively. I think the two catchers have done a really good job giving you what they've given you so far. You know, I think we need to get into a little deeper into ACC play to know fully what everybody's going to be offensively. But, you know, offensively, there's no one that's really surprised me on the mound. Pretty similar, to be honest. It's just I think Ox has kind of had a little bit bigger of a role than I expected, and he's done a good job of executing in those roles. So hasn't been too many surprises, but, I mean, that's part of watching the team all the way through fall and preseason, that there's not that many things that come up that are super surprising from watching these kids develop. But, yeah, I would probably say Ox is that guy so far. Maybe Abraham as well, just from that outing on Sunday this past week.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, you took my answer there. It was Abraham. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know who he was until the season started.
Yeah, I mean, so
good for him. I mean, like, that's what you want. Like, you want guys emerging.
John took some awesome, really, really big steps in the preseason after struggling with the consistency of the fastball in the fall. And the fastball being consistent now this preseason has allowed him to get into leverage counts and get to the breaking balls and let him spin it, which is what he's really good at. So it's been good to see him get in the moment and execute.
Yeah, he's been the one on the mound for me. I just didn't expect it. Good for him. And you're going to need him, I think. I think if he continues to pitch this way, like, adding to the depth will be important. And then for me, I agree with you. Catchers, I didn't think either one would be able to hit like this. Not really. So
I think it's also partially getting them into the matchups you want for them, like being able to pick and choose which days each of them start and get them in the matchup you want.
Yeah, but Brett, like, Holbrook's hitting 407, right, yeah. West 391. Between the two, you have 20 base hits. I mean, I didn't expect that. Good for them. If it continues, you really have arguably the best lineup in the country by the end of the year, right? Like, if all of this continues to go chalk. And then this isn't really a surprise, but I didn't quite think he would be hitting 406. Drew Ferreau has been a much better bat for Florida State early on, and he actually handled Florida's pitching pretty easily there on Tuesday. So that's an athletic kid, Brett, that I think profiles to be a really good baseball player. And I know last year at UCF he was up and down just trying to figure out his first year of college baseball, but I think the Noles might have got a gem there in Ferreau. Like, I think they've got a guy who can steal bases, runs the bags well, has intensity, energy, fields a good second base right now, athletic, and has a ton of pop in that bat as well. It's good. I mean, mm-hmm. He's been doubles to me the most impressive of – I'm impressed with Cam and Tibbs, but it's because I expected them to be pretty dominant as hitters. Ferreau's the one that comes out of nowhere for me. I thought he would be a home run hitter. I didn't think he'd hit for average. 406, it's kind of shut up a lot of people, at least early on. So can he do it in ACC play? We're going to find out, but just a hat tip to Drew Ferreau here so far.
Yeah, I think the best thing about his transition to second base has been the best thing for me, the way he's handled it and the athleticism showing up there. And he's been consistent there, and you know, obviously at the plate, like you said, he's been awesome as well. And 11 doubles, leads the team, and one of the highest marks in the country. So yeah, I think you've gotten everything you could have imagined from Drew so far.
Cool, good podcast, man. Thanks for the questions, everybody. Florida State, Notre Dame here this weekend in Tallahassee. Brett and I will be back next week early on to chat about the weekend and get into some more thoughts here. I think we're going to go get some Canopy Road. They're not sponsoring the pod, not yet. Stay tuned, hopefully. Let's see what we can do to get an NIL deal for Sunday Golds. But it's fun, man. Enjoying this so far. You said this the other night. You said, I'm having fun. And I know you've deserved to have some fun from what you've covered the last couple of years. So let's hope it continues, right?
I just
right?
enjoy good baseball.
Yeah. Let's hope it continues. What do you say?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right. We're on Apple Pods, on Spotify, Google Pods, and everywhere else that you get your favorite podcast. We appreciate you. Again, please give us 5 stars if you can. Give us a comment on Apple Pods. It does make a difference. And I'll keep saying that and beating that drum to continue to try and grow this podcast. Please share it with your friends. And again, we thank you guys a lot for having followed us now for a couple of years here on Sunday Gold. Until we talk to you again next week, he's Brett Nevitt. I'm Aria Masudi, and this has been Sunday Golds.